Yes, sir.
Amen. It's always a privilege just to serve God. We're sinners, definitely not worthy, but doing anything for God is a privilege, and always thankful for the opportunity to be behind this pulpit and to preach. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Amen. I love my church family. No better place we could be on a Wednesday night here in God's house with God's people praying together for each other. Amen. Acts chapter number 4. I don't hear any more pages turning. I believe everyone's there. We're going to start reading in verse number 7. I'm going to read several verses here. And then we'll pray and pray I give you what God has given me. The Bible says in verse 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, but even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the privilege and honor, God. This is your word. God, the mighty power in your word, and I'm so inadequate. God, but tonight I beg of you, Lord, we need you to speak to us, God. We need you to meet with us, Lord. I pray that you would use me tonight as your tool to speak to the hearts of your people through your word. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I come to you tonight as a concerned heart, a heavy heart. I don't know how I'll be tonight, but I know my heart's heavy. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that has a goal, and his goal is to stop the spread. Say of what? The gospel. The gospel. You see there in verse number 17, they said, but that it spread no further. These people were being used in a tool of that enemy to try to stop these men from speaking, to try to stop the spread of the gospel. They said, we cannot deny what has been done here. We can't do anything about it. We can't deny that the miracle, everybody has seen it, but we got to stop it from going any further. We got to stop the spread. And so I want to talk to you tonight about, are you stopping the spread? Are you stopping the spread? Are you being used as a tool of Satan, our enemy, to stop the spread? You see, if you're saved, If you're a child of God, if you're born again, if you're a new creature, there's no denying people that know you, people that you grew up with, your family. They said, I've seen him before. That was that man. The one we're speaking of here in this account, he was a man, lame man, sitting at the gate. People passed him every day, begging. They seen him all the time, and they seen him standing there, leaping, praising God. They said, we can't deny it. We can't deny there was a change made in this man. And if you're saved, there should be a change in your life. You're a new creature. And people can't deny it. People that you grew up with, people used to hang around with, they say something's different. People knew you before. They've seen the change in your life. And they can't deny that something supernatural has taken place. And Satan hates that. Satan hates that people are looking at you and they're seeing, hey, something can change their life. Something happened to them. What was it? What was it? Your life and witness can change many people. Do you understand that? People that knew you, especially some of you that were saved later in life, and you used to hang around the wrong crowds, you used to go to the wrong places, and now you're different. Back up with me to chapter number 3. Let's look at this man. Verse number 9, the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You see, when your life had been changed, people see it. And his life was witnessed. And all those people started gathering around. If you look, the people gathered. They knew what, verse 11, the lame man which was healed held Peter and James, or Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch. And then Peter started preaching to them. Peter started talking because they were in amazement, wondering, thinking that he did something. He's saying it wasn't him. If you look over in chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Lives that were changed just because one person was being a witness, that his life was changed. Praising God, leaping, showing what God had done in his life. That's all he did. Look what God did in my life. You knew who I was. You knew what I was. You knew what I used to be. And look, I'm different now. And many people heard and believed, and their lives were changed. And so could people be changed by your life. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that your life, you just living for God, and you showing the difference, showing that you're a new creature, can change many lives. So Satan says, I got to stop it. I got to stop it. So therefore, to stop the spread, he needs us to follow his plan. Our lives speak for itself, so he needs us to follow his plan. He needs us to work with him to stop it. They told Peter and John, they said, hey, you guys come over here. You got to stop this. We're commanding you. We're ordering you. We're threatening you to stop it. And I'm afraid right now he's seeing more success now than ever. Because we've lost our focus. I'm concerned. So I'm going to ask a couple questions as an exam. You like exams? And if people shake their head, no. People that are still in school, you don't like exams. But exams are there. They're a good thing. They're to show you where you are. In school, if you failed an exam, that means you didn't learn what you should have learned. They're not going to ask you questions that they didn't go over. You might have been asleep when they went over it. You might have been doodling, drawing. You might have been passing notes. But they went over it. They taught it. Why you didn't get it, that's what the exams will show you. Hey, you're not where you ought to be. You go to the doctor, they give you an exam. You like those? But they show you where you are. They show you the need. So I'm going to ask a couple questions. Don't twist my words. Don't say that I said something that I didn't say. It's an exam. It's for you to examine yourself. Just asking a question. And for you to think, because I've had to ask myself these questions these last couple months. And I didn't do too good. My exam didn't come out with flying colors. How about you? Are you more concerned about winning an argument, Facebook, in the grocery store with the person in the aisle, than you are lost souls? If you can't answer yes, or if you can answer yes, put an X by that question. It's the wrong answer. This is one I don't want you twisting my words. Are you more concerned about who wears a mask than you are lost souls? I've seen so many people arguing about things that are foolish. And yes, yeah, foolish that they would demand that we wear masks. But is that what you're focused on? Is that all you think about? Is that what you're more concerned about than a lost soul? Here's another big one. And don't twist my words on this, because I'm not saying are you concerned, because these are things you ought to be concerned about. These are things that ought to bring you to your knees and plead with God and beg God, as we heard men do a minute ago, God, have mercy on us. Extend your mercy on our nation. But are you more concerned about who wins the election? I didn't say, are you concerned? We ought to be concerned. This is serious. This is big stuff. But are you more concerned about who wins this election than you are lost souls? Again, I took this exam myself. God gave it to me, and I didn't really like my answers. I saw that I was getting off focus. I saw that I was not doing my part to spread the gospel, because things were sidetracking me. Have you, like me, sometimes find yourself so caught up in an event happening that we neglect to see others for who they really are, lost and undone, without God and the Son? You see, they're dead. They're blind. They get angry at people because they're blocking the street. And I have. They're blocking the street, causing me to get 15 minutes later to get home and not once think, these people are lost. These people are blind. Hopeless. You see, your Facebook post isn't going to fix them. I'm not surprised for you, huh? What you write on Facebook, probably they're not even going to see it, for one, but it's not going to fix them if they did. Your Facebook post isn't going to change who they'll vote for. I think we all know that, but for some reason we try to encourage people otherwise, but like I said, we ought to be concerned. We ought to do our part. We ought to pray. But I dare say it's not going to change who they're going to vote for. It'll start an argument. You giving them a piece of your mind in the grocery store isn't going to change their life. They need Jesus. He can change their vote. Yeah. He can change their life. He can change their actions. He did it for you. Didn't he? He did it for you. Dr. Edwards said, are you the cause? Are you going to be the cause? Are you going to be the cause for the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of the spread? Or are you going to be the cause for the stopping of it? I've got 4 points I want to go over. And this is something that as I was preparing it, I thought, you know what, this may be a sermon that I'll never be able to preach again. because of the times we live in. 6 months ago, this wouldn't have been as effective. We might not have got as much of understanding, but the stopping the spread, it was a reason I use that term, stopping the spread, because you hear it every day, don't you? Stopping the spread. And our friends at the CDC, they have a game plan to stop the spread. They got several things they're telling us to do. And I'm afraid that Satan's using those same tactics. Number one, cover your mouth. Look over in verse number 18 again, in chapter number 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They don't want it coming out your mouth. And neither does Satan. Have you found, just examining your life, have you found that you haven't been a good witness as you used to be recently, that you haven't been focusing on spreading the gospel? If you're not spreading it, who will be? Do your part. Spread it. Let's spread it. Let's do, everyone do our part. Because if we don't, who will? Have we been covering our mouth? Staying silent. Not speaking. Because that's what Satan wants. Don't you dare speak in his name. Okay. Number one, how do you stop the spread? Cover your mouth. Number two, this one gets me. When I first heard this term, and I still see it every day, and I just shake my head, social distance. Don't get close to others. Just keep to yourself, and for heaven's sake, don't touch anyone. I'm reminded, if you could turn back with me to Mark chapter 1, we find a story of a leper. Now, if you're familiar with stories of lepers and Jesus, you know there are many cases of Jesus and lepers. If you're familiar with lepers, you know there's a rule about lepers. Stay away. They're unclean. And they would even tell you, if you got close, they'd cover their mouth and say, unclean, stay away from me. There was 10 lepers that called out to Jesus as he was across the way. Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus, he didn't touch him. He didn't go over there. He just said, go show yourselves to the priest. They went away and they were healed. But in this case, in Mark chapter number 1, a leper came to him in verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Don't touch a leper. And I wonder, why did he have to touch him to heal him? He didn't touch those 10, but Jesus touched him. Why? Because he had compassion on him. I think it's Pastor Brandon, Sister Jennifer. I think y'all sing the song. I may be wrong, but I know someone sings it here. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? But to stop the spread, don't touch. To stop the spread, keep your distance. Just keep to yourself. Just worry about, number one, cover your mouth, social distance. Don't touch. Did you say, well, they're violent. They're rioters. And such were some of you. And by the grace of God, but by the grace of God, where would we be? Amen. They need Jesus. Don't we get it? That's what they need. That's what will change them. I get upset. I get concerned when I turn on the TV and I see the cities burning. Those people need Jesus. Not for us to give them a piece of our mind. What's that going to fix? God's called us to be a witness. Number one, cover your mouth. Number two, social distance. Number three, stay home. I don't think I need to spend much time there. That's self-explanatory, right? Stay home. Mark 16, 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus says, go. They say, and Satan says, stay. Stay where it's safe. We had a couple that said, we'll go. But Satan says, stay. Stay. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But Satan says, stay home. Stay home. Stop the spread. Stay home. Number four, my last point. Wash your hands. I'm reminded of Pilate. When I hear that term, wash your hands. Reminded of Pilate as he took in front of all the people, washed his hands, said, not my concern. It's on you. Not my concern. Don't care about people. I was so excited when Sunday school opened back up to see the children's faces. So excited when the buses started running again and started seeing some of these bus kids come back in. And I know the bus workers were. These are people that have compassion. People that care. And we could wash our hands all we want. But the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 33, you got blood on your hands. Because I've told you to warn them. I've called you to be a watchman. And I've given you a message to tell people. And if you don't, you can wash with all the soap and water all you want. You got blood on your hands. And it ain't going to come off. You could say, I'm not concerned, I don't care, it's someone else's problem, but you're not going to wash that blood off your hands. Ezekiel 33, verse 7 and 8, write it down, look it up. It says, I've called you to be a watchman. If you do not warn them and they die, the blood's on your hands. The blood is on your hands, but you can wash them. What does that do? Stops the spread. Stops the spread. Cover your mouth. And in our case, don't cover your mouth. Speak it. Tell it. Cry aloud. Spare not, the Bible says. Don't cover your mouth. Because I don't want you to stop the spread. I want you to sit in your heart as God was dealing with me. I don't want to be a tool of the devil. I don't want to be used of him like these people were that were trying to stop Peter and John from spreading it. I want to be the one that I'm the cause. I want to be the cause, as Brother Edward said, to spread it. Don't cover your mouth. Get close to people. I don't mean get up in their bubble, but get close. Love people. Be concerned. Like people used to do. People to go to houses and visit. And I know we can't do some of those things we do now, but write letters to the bus kids, your Sunday school class. Show them you care. The parents see a letter coming in from their Sunday school teacher and thinking, wow, they actually care about my child. Might mean something to them. Might change their life. You might actually spread something there, some love. Spread the gospel. Sometimes you've got to win people to you before you can win them to Christ. So get close to people. Don't stay home. Be faithful to church. Go soul winning. Tell others. And let's not have bloody hands. Let's do our part. Let's get concerned. Let's have compassion as Jesus did. Let's have compassion on folks again. I said, as I was thinking about these last several months, I know myself had been distracted. I know myself had gotten my focus off of what it ought to be. And I just, God had led me to speak tonight, maybe to bring someone back to focus, maybe to just help you with that exam, to show you what are you concerned about? Where do you stand? That's what an exam is, to show you the problem. Don't get mad at the doctor because he showed you you had a spot that brings some concern. Don't get mad at the doctor because he told you you're overweight. If you're overweight, then that's something you got to work on. It's easy to get mad at the doctor. He gave me bad news. I don't like what he said. Don't get mad at God's word. Examine your heart. Bring yourself under the word of God and say, God, help me. I want to spread it. I want to spread it. Let's all bow our heads and all stand. It's the message God had laid on my heart. Are you stopping the spread? I hope you in your heart decide, maybe I have been, but not no more. I want to do my part. I want to do my part to spread the gospel. I want to do my part to tell others. I want to do my part to really make a difference in people's lives. And that's only if I introduce them to Jesus Christ. God's word changes lives. The Son of God, Jesus in their heart, can change their life. He did to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for, Lord, just dealing in my heart, Lord, not leaving me to myself. Lord, when I go in error, but Lord, bringing me back to show me, God, to get my focus back. I sure hate the devil. Lord, he's rotten. He's a scoundrel, God. He's a destroyer of lives. And I don't want to do anything to help him out. Lord, I pray for this church and help us, God. Help us to go forward for you. Help us to get our focus right. Spread the gospel, to tell the wonderful story of Jesus and his love. Thank you so much for your word tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.